Turn tonight to James chapter number 4, and I want to read verses 13 through 15 this evening. And the thought I have for you tonight is kind of an unusual thought, and also my message tonight is kind of an unusual approach. But the thought is, mark your calendar with your fingers crossed. That's the thought I see here in James. Mark your calendar with your fingers crossed. James chapter 4, and look with me now at verse number 13, where the Bible says, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell, and get gain. Whereas, you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that." So that's a good thought there. We should say, if the Lord will, we shall do this or that. I think if you ponder and think about what James is saying there, I do believe it's in keeping with the idea tonight that I would like to attempt to preach on. That's simply the subject. It's okay to mark our calendars, but we better do so with our fingers crossed, because there's many, many times we find out that what we schedule on our calendars does not work out for whatever reason. And I think James is making that clear. Let's pray tonight. Our Father, tonight we thank you for this wonderful day that you blessed us with. We thank you for another opportunity to have a service here this evening in the church again. And we thank you for the good music tonight. And we appreciate, Father, these good, godly, practical songs that are so significant as far as some good, practical advice that they give us. And they encourage us as well, because they remind us of our Savior, of His grace, of His goodness, and of heaven, and all of the wonderful things associated with the Christian life. Now, Father, bless tonight, we pray, and help us, Lord, to be more conscious of where we are, and help us to be more conscious of the fact of eternity. And, Lord, help us this evening that we might be wise when it comes to the matter of even planning ahead, realizing that the future is in God's hands. Now, Lord, bless us tonight, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. You know, it's a true statement, and I'm quite certain everyone this evening will agree with me when I say that we all are conscious of time, but yet most of us are careless when it comes to the matter of time. We go ahead and we make our plans. We establish dates on the calendar. We plan on doing this, that, or the other, but invariably, it seems like our plans change for an assortment of different reasons. You know, we by human nature presume that dates will be kept as we mark our calendar. We, for example, we schedule appointments. We schedule vacations. We schedule commitments without entertaining the thought that we may miss the appointment. There is always that possibility. I think of my friend, Dr. Bobby Robertson, who went home to be with the Lord a few months ago. And I remember Brother Bobby and myself talking about his coming to our church and preaching. I'd actually scheduled a date, and he had already put it on his calendar that Brother Bobby Robertson was going to be preaching here at Smith Grove Baptist Church. But you know what happened to him? He got sick. He had cancer. And God took him on home. He never made the appointment. But both he and myself, we pulled out our calendars and we had planned, and we were looking forward to the time that he'd be able to be with us, but it didn't happen. Now, here in the book of James, James tells us that we do not know what tomorrow will hold. We don't know. But those that are saved do know who holds tomorrow. And that's the wonderful thing. We don't know what tomorrow will hold, but thank the good Lord, we know who holds the morrow. You know, quite frankly, we need to mark our calendars with our fingers crossed. The thoughts and the words, if the Lord will, should precede all of our future planning. And that's what James says. It should precede our future planning. If you will notice now, again, I'm looking back at this text. James says this, and let me give a little bit of a commentary on what he's actually saying here. Basically, he's saying don't be too certain about planning on what you're going to do tomorrow, about going into a city, for example, continuing there a year, buying and selling and getting gain. And then James, in the next verse, he says, we do not know what shall be on the morrow. We frankly do not know. Then he goes on and says that our life is like a vapor. It appears for a little while, and then it vanishes away. Life is like that. Life is like a vapor. Life is so brief. Compare life, compare time to eternity. It's only a drop in the bucket. Life is so brief. And it seems like the older that one gets, the more conscious you become of how fast the years go by and of how time creeps right along. And then we wake up one morning in a sense and we think, where in the world is all of the time going? Sometimes it's hard to believe that time can go by so fast. But when you're young, you don't really give a whole lot of thought to that. But boy, isn't it amazing how when you get older, you have to give thought to it, because you see so many illustrations of it all around us. We start losing loved ones. We have family members that die. And we see so much that goes on. And then he says this. He says, we ought to say, if the Lord will, I'm going to do this, that, or the other. If God will, I'm going to do that. So you see, basically tonight, the thought that you notice here in this passage of Scripture is that time is passing and will eventually escort us all into eternity. Now, we can fight the process all we want. We can make up our minds that I'm just going to just fight that process. I'm going to work at it. I'm going to struggle. I'm going to persevere. We can dot every single I. We can get all of that good exercise. We can eat all of the right foods. But as the old country boy says, eventually we're all going to kick the bucket. That's going to happen. I just had another birthday myself this past week, and you know, but let me say something about this. I had a birthday like the rest of you all had this year, or will have shortly. So you see, these birthdays have a tendency to come and go, don't they? But what they're doing, they're pushing us up the ladder a little bit more. We're just getting a little bit older. But you see, the way I look at it, people said, did you have a good birthday? Well, the answer, quite frankly, when you look at it from the spiritual side of it, yes, it was a wonderful birthday. And I'll give you the reasons in just a moment. But from the physical side of it, I've had better birthdays. And I think you all know what I mean. These birthdays, we just don't feel quite like we did when we were 20 years older, do we? And that is a fact that we just cannot get away from. I'm talking about the spiritual realm. I actually had a good birthday because, and here's my reasons, it represented another year to serve the Lord. It represented another year to be close, as it's putting us all close to the great homecoming that we're expecting. It was another year to witness God's faithfulness and love. It was another year to count our blessings. That's what I see when it comes to the Christian getting older and older. Another year to see what God has done. I believe the Lord does want us to be good stewards in several areas. We need to be good stewards of time. We need to be good stewards of our money. And we need to be good stewards of our bodies. I'm not against physical exercise. We should take care of these bodies even. We need to keep on eating right. We need to get plenty of sleep. We need to take our vitamins. And in some people's cases, They need to take their Botox, if that be the case. It's okay to keep putting paint on the old barn. We may as well do it. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. And let me say this tonight. It's your business. If you want to go for a run and look like Tim Conway, that's your business. On the side of the road, have you seen some of those guys? I get tickled sometimes, but I commend them. I salute them. But I don't see them getting very far. I see them out here going like this. Sometimes I start to roll the window down and say, how you doing, Tim? But think about the progression of time. Actually, when we talk about the progression of time, maybe we need to talk about the reduction of time. For example, a year, we plan a year ahead, but we find that that year will become a month ahead. Then the month becomes tomorrow. Then tomorrow becomes today. And today becomes an hour. And an hour becomes a moment. And a moment becomes now. It is amazing how that year is reduced down to that moment, to the now. The Bible addresses time and references that those various segments of time. In fact, I want us to see that tonight this message is a little bit unusual. The Bible actually addresses those segments of time. The Bible references a year. The Bible references a month. The Bible talks about tomorrow. The Bible references today. The Bible references the hour. The Bible references the moment. And the Bible references the now. It actually references all of those particular segments of time. The periods of time can be looked at from the term that describes the longest period of time to that which describes the shortest period of time. For example, the year would represent the longest period of time, but we come down to the moment, to now, and time has been reduced down literally to the second. The year breaks down this way. It goes from the month, the year breaks down to the month breaks down to the week breaks down to the day breaks down to the hour breaks down to the minute breaks down to the second. We are time conscious. Everything about our lives is built into the idea and the concept and the calculation of time. We plan everything around time. Everything. We have a certain time to get up. We have a certain time to go to work. We have a certain time to take a break. We have a certain time to leave work. We have a certain time to eat when we get home, to have supper. We have a certain time that we usually retire for the evening and go to bed. We schedule things on time. We put it on our calendar and we try as much as possible to honor the calendar. You think about how time is woven into the conversations of our day. For example, we say things like this. What time does a meeting start? What time will the meeting end? I don't have time for that. How much time will that take? Don't waste your time on that. It's time to go. I need to time out. It's time to take a long walk. It's time for supper. Time has been defined as a stretch of duration in which things happen. Somebody one time said that time is a seed plot of eternity. It is the seed plot of eternity. When we think of time and compare that to the Bible, we know that the plan of God encompasses everything from being born to the time of our death. If you go back and read Ecclesiastes chapter 3, there's a time to be born and a time to die. There's a time to plant. There's a time to sow. Read chapter 3. It's all around time. God appoints our birthday and God appoints our funeral. It's all in the plan of God. We came into this world and our name winds up on a birth certificate, a date that constitutes our birthday. We celebrate that birthday as life goes on. And then there comes a time that we go out into eternity and the ending of our life is etched upon our grave marker. It's all built around time. 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 Everything revolves around timing, scheduling the calendar. A preacher one time said this though. He was talking about this thing of time and trying and striving and working and preaching and teaching and, you know, making an effort to straighten people out and all that goes on with that. And here's what he said. He said, I spent about 12 years trying to straighten out certain members of the church, but they never straightened out. He said, I spent about 14 months trying to straighten out the marriage of some, but they never straightened out. And what I meant to tell you was that pastor, he quit pastoring and he took a job as a funeral director. So his final comment was this, when I straighten them out now, they stay straightened out. And isn't that true? You know, interestingly enough, the Bible references these segments of time. The Bible talks about a year. The Bible talks about a month. The Bible talks about tomorrow. The Bible talks about today. The Bible talks about the hour. The Bible talks about a moment. And the Bible talks about now. Let's break it down. I told you this would be an unusual approach to a message. First of all, let's see what the Bible has to say about this year. This year, and I'm going to just give you some verses. You don't have to turn there, but think about this. This year, Jeremiah 28 verse 16, the Bible says, therefore thus saith the Lord, behold, I will cast thee from off the face of the earth. This year thou shalt die. He said, this year thou shalt die because thou hast taught rebellion against the Lord. So Jeremiah was basically telling Hananiah the prophet that he would die this year. And in fact, he died in October when you read that out. So the prophet Jeremiah told Hananiah, he said, this year thou shalt die, this year. And that came true. The prophet died in October. As we look ahead, I wonder what's going to transpire this year. I wonder what it's going to be. This year could be the termination of someone's life, even in our midst tonight. We do not know, do we? We do not know for certainty. This year could be a year of great success, a year of spiritual betterment, a year of something special happening. This could be the year that you get a promotion. This could be the year that someone retires. This could be the year that you change jobs. This could be the year you graduate from a schooling of some sort. This could be the year. So as the prophet told that other prophet, he said, this year, he said, you shall die. And it happened. Let's go further. In the Bible, we find a reference to this month. Now we've gone from this year to this month. The Bible says in Exodus 12:2, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. And that's talking about the Passover month, which is April, which is a key month for the Jewish calendar. The Passover. So he said, this month will be the beginning of months. So the Jewish people, on their calendar, they marked down the month of April as a key beginning month. Now, what took place on the Passover? All of you good Bible students know what took place. You know that on the Passover night, you know that God passed over the land. And you know the account over there in the book of Exodus, chapter number 12. You know that when that blood had been applied to those Jewish household doorposts, that the Lord passed through and judgment did not enter that household in the form of the death of the firstborn. The Passover. And then we know the Exodus would take place because that was the thing that clinched it for Pharaoh. He couldn't handle it any longer, so he gave up. And Israel came out of Egypt and moved towards the promised land. But what I like about it says this month. This month. It became a beginning of months. Now let's break this down a little bit further. We've said this year. What can happen this year? But I wonder what this month will hold. Here we are now only 1 week away from our homecoming. Our church homecoming is in October every year and on the second Sunday of the month every year. So we could say October is our homecoming month. Our homecoming month. But now bringing this into perspective with us tonight, we don't know what a year holds. We don't even know what a month holds. We don't know. We have no earthly idea, do we? So the Bible says this year. The Bible says this month. Now let's break it down a little bit further. Do you know the Bible also says tomorrow? In fact, in Proverbs chapter 27 and verse number 1, chapter 27 and verse 1, the Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow. It doesn't say boast not thyself of the year or of the month. It says boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Now we're talking about a day. We had been talking about a year. We had been talking about a month. Now we're talking about a day. Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Don't be presumptuous is a thought about what you may do tomorrow, for you don't know what tomorrow holds. So a lot can happen in one day. You all know that. How many times have you experienced in one day's time some major event that you never would have anticipated would happen? How many times does a person get up in the course of any day? Beautiful weather, you get ready, you go off to work, and you've planned what you're going to do as the day routine rolls on. But something happens during the course of that day, and I'm not talking about just a negative thing. But in the course of a day, much can happen. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Proverbs 27:1. Now we're down to a day, tomorrow. Tomorrow. The basic thought of Scripture is when we plan ahead, we better always plan ahead, mark our calendar with our fingers crossed. But yet, there's a positive side to it all anyway. Regardless of whether we're talking about a year, a month, a week, tomorrow, today, this moment, this hour, this minute, our God is still in control of every second on our calendar. He is still in control. And so, we have no need to look at the future, whether even down to an hour, from the standpoint of a pessimist, because God controls the day just as much as God controls the year. Let's move further. We've seen the Bible talking about a year, talking about a month, talking about tomorrow. Now let's go to where it mentions today. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse number 7, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you'll hear his voice. Now it becomes today, if you'll hear his voice. And interestingly enough, today for us means right here. It means in this church service. It means actually at this hour. Hearing God's voice right now. I preached on that this morning. Not simply hearing, but listening. So today, the admonition is, we need to hear God's voice. We need to listen to the Lord, make a decision concerning what God would have us to do even today, even right now, in this church service. Because this service right now was planned just as much by God as events that will take place in a year, a month, a week, even today. God's will and God's plan is this moment has arrived. And we need to hear his voice today. But now let's go further. Let's go further. I also read in the Bible, it talks about the hour. You remember I preached on that this morning, the hour. We've come from the day, now we've come to the hour. John 5:25, remember our text this morning? Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that shall hear shall live. And we preached on that this morning, so I do not need to elaborate on that anymore tonight. We talked about that this morning. The hour is coming, now is. The hour of some being resurrected like in redemption, and the hour is coming when there will be a resurrection in the terms of glorification. Right down to the hour. Then, the Bible talks about the moment. Do you know where that's found? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52. In a moment, there's your word. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. That's 1 Corinthians 15, verse 52. It says, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. You know, preachers love to preach on that passage of Scripture, and I'm one of them. You know what that basically says? It says that we're going to be changed so quickly when Jesus comes back, when the glorification takes place of the body, it's going to be as quick as the twinkling of an eye. That's mighty quick. I don't know how fast an eye twinkles, but all I can say to all of us tonight, it's going to be quicker than we even know. It's going to be quicker than a flash. For people that have a fear, you know, sometimes we fear the unknown. We're thinking, well, I've never flown. I don't even like to fly. Can you imagine flying to the third heaven? That's a flight, isn't it? For sure. And for people that don't like flying, sometimes actually human beings entertain this. How am I going to react when Jesus comes back? Will I be scared? How am I going to feel? All I can say, it's going to happen so quickly, you won't have time to think about it. When the rapture takes place, in a twinkling of an eye, not the blinking of an eye, but the twinkling of an eye. It'd be interesting sometimes to do a study of that. Do a study of that, please. Google that up, not now, but do that up, do it sometimes. Any more preachers got to be careful with everybody Googling all the time, that I ought to start Googling on you in church. But the twinkling of an eye, the change will occur in a moment as quick as the twinkling of an eye. The Bible talks about a moment. So what we've seen, we've gone from a year, a month, right on down now to the moment. And then finally, the Bible brings it all of the way to the now. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, for he saith, I've heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. There's our word. Now is accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So the message is clear to the unsaved person. Settle it right now. Not tomorrow, do it right now. And the message to God's people is make a decision right now. Rededicate your life now. Consecrate right now. Do for God right now what you may be planning on doing some other time. The Bible puts the emphasis on the now. Why? Because we don't know that tomorrow will even come. I mean, we don't know. We may be in eternity. It may be too late. Something may monkey wrench it happening. We may wind up in a hospital. We may wind up with something else occurring. But God basically says, whatever you're going to do for the Lord, do it right now. We've come all the way from a year right down to the moment, haven't we? Now God promises us not only sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof, but we can also conclude to that sufficient unto the day, sufficient unto the moment, sufficient unto the minute. The grace of God is also sufficient as well. We need to trust Him right now. Deal with Him now. Make decisions right now and presume no longer. Yes, we're time conscious because the Bible emphasizes time too, doesn't it? So that's why we need to keep on marking our calendars. But the only word of caution is do so with our fingers crossed. Let's bow for prayer.